Do you want the debate or do you want these hands? Tell me what you want. Do you want these hands?
I'ma do something.
Welcome back to the Catch These Hands podcast on the I'm Kinda Famous podcast network. We got a new episode. But first, make sure you go over to the Kinda Famous Pod Network on Facebook, K-I-N-D-A Famous Pod, P-O-D, on Facebook.com/KindaFamousPod. Also on Twitter, which y'all know I really don't use the Twitter like that. Arrow Films is my personal website, AROWEfilms.com. You can also go on there, you can go on the Redbubble, find them clean-ass people, collect the t-shirts and other merchandise, as well watch some of the documentary stuff that I've done, and as well get over to the YouTube page where you can find the I'm Kinda Famous podcast network of video shows, of full episodes, of just small clips, as well as some of the Catch These Hands podcast clips. Now, this is the third official episode. It's not like a weekly thing. We're gonna do them as much as I can because this is a completely based on interview based show with combat sports fighters and people in the business of making people bloody. This week, the first two episodes, great success. One with Dave K. Man Rickles and Cody Carrillo, and then we also had Alex McGowan and Tyler Ingram, the Boogeyman. Everybody on the show so far has also fought for Evolution Fighting Championship and some other version of high-level fighting, and that doesn't change this week as we have what I'm going to call the conspiracy theorist, but some people may know him as Manny the Man Dog Mraz, and this is going to be a good episode because I've been wanting to talk to him for a while about some shit that just is... He's next level. It's a whole different thing. We're going to talk sports, but I don't know how long we're going to stay on sports on this particular episode because it's a lot of shit that I want to talk about that I just know is going to turn into a rabbit hole of topics that...
I don't pay much attention to sports.
See, I mean, and I don't know how much we're going to agree. We're going to probably disagree on a lot, but that's good part of good debate is that it's not... You don't have to agree. You just got to kind of figure out... I like to listen to the journey of how people get to their ideas sometimes. And who knows, we might agree on a couple of things, but I got a whole list on this paper of things that I want to see what he knows about, and we'll talk about
see,
that conspiracy.
The whole day I sat here and thought about what's the topics, what you think is conspiracy and what is truth.
We gonna get to that. When we get to that side, we're gonna break all that down.
I wanted all day.
All right, so we're gonna start with MMA. Okay. Manny, you fight out of JMTK, yeah. Jandrea Muay Thai.
Yeah.
A lot of the fighters in Wichita at least fight out of that gym. It's a world renowned gym with Coach Andy Zerger.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us how you got to that gym and what got you to the gym?
Well, how far you want to go back?
All right, put it like this.
The first thought of MMA or the first thought of this career?
It's one thing we got to realize is man is an old man. We're going to jump into that too. But let's start with how you got to the gym, and we'll talk about how you decided that you wanted to be a fighter.
How I got to the gym was watching a fight. Okay, a buddy of mine that I went to, not necessarily high school with, but we went to high school at the same time. We wrestled at the same time, Brad Brown. He had gotten me into kickboxing over at one of the local little fitness gyms. And soon enough, probably about, I don't know, 5-6 months, because I was quite big at one point. I was probably about 200. I actually stepped on the scale at 298 pounds.
Good night.
And... told myself that I was not going to hit 300. Well, it took me about, I don't know, 5-6 months, and I probably dropped off about 40-50 pounds. So I was sitting somewhere about 240, 250, walking around, and a buddy of mine said, hey, why don't you come out to a kickboxing gym with me, and start doing kickboxing. So I did kickboxing for about 3 or 4 months under Brent Reeves and just trained there. It was literally just two or three of us every 2 or 3 days. And then I probably got to about 220, 215, somewhere in there. And he goes, and about the time there was a fight coming up at the Cotillion, or no, not the Cotillion, the Wichita Ballroom. Wichita Ballroom. I sat there and got, I don't know, probably third or fourth table back. Watched a fight between Cody Carrillo, and I remembered him because I sat on sidelines of the mat with him when he was little. Him and his brother Andrew.
Man, this goes back.
So I was there just to watch MMA fights, and I happened to see somebody that I knew from way back when. I'm going, all right, this is interesting. And this was something that I wanted to do from years back, but from we'll get that's a whole nother story of why I didn't do MMA when straight out in high school and straight out of high school and straight out of college. Well, anyways, I'm sitting there and I'm watching this, and I watch Rickles. He was either the main event or the co-main event, and I was just amazed that he was from Wichita, and quite a few of the fighters were from Wichita, and I'm going to have MMA around, and it's not the same that I thought that was in high school and in college, because back then it was a different set of rules.
Yeah.
So, somewhere about that time, I think it was on MySpace or on Facebook. I might have, I think it was right before Facebook really kicked off, and it's about MySpace. And I sent him a message and said something along the lines of, and it was, I wouldn't know if he was this more of calling him out or if this was saying, hey, I really want to trade skill, because that's what I was intentionally meaning. But it was, hey, I think your wrestling is horrible.
To who?
To Rickles.
Okay.
I said, I think your wrestling is horrible, but your striking is really good. I would like to work with you. Could we trade some kind of skill? And he said, sure, come in Monday.
Now, do you think you said it that eloquently? Because it sounded so polite.
I would have to really research it up. But it wasn't, I really, at the time, wasn't trying to call the man out. It was, I want to get into this, and this was, you're one of the pros that were all fighting on this card.
So Rickles was already a pro?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was already on one of the pro cards. I don't know if this was actually before he won his Bellator tournament.
Mm.
And I was intrigued because this wasn't the MMA that I had seen in high school. In high school, it was you won maybe a few thousand dollars for sitting there for as long as possible until somebody gave up for getting punched in the nuts.
Mm. The original UFC.
Right. Who the fuck really wanted to do that?
Yeah. Tough man competition. Yeah. Not tough man. What was it?
It was the Ultimate Fighting Championships.
Yeah.
It was all the
butter
martial
beans
arts.
And, yeah.
The person who fucking fought with one glove, and this is all I need is one glove.
Yeah. Kind of like a sideshow, more like circus fights, right. Basically.
It was, but it was everything. It was my martial art is better than your martial art.
Mm-hmm. So, what? And when you got to the gym,
I got my ass whooped.
Okay.
For many months.
By Rickles or just everybody?
A lot of John Bryant, a lot of Rickles, some of Cody Carrillo. I mean, there were quite a few fighters that I literally standing up got my ass whooped day in and day out, but I still showed up and I still worked on their wrestling and I would still take them down. I would take a beating getting them down, but I would take them down. And I had.
Now, what about, so you, but this all started by saying his wrestling was shit.
Yeah.
So at what point do you get the display that, hey, maybe you should learn something from this wrestling thing that I was talking about?
When I could sit there for 2 to 3 minutes holding them down.
Hmm. But was that effective? Or because you know, a lot of what you know, we'll say maybe 3 or 4 years ago, a lot of what, you know, a casual fan like myself before really meeting Rickles looked at MMA as a bunch of hugging and holding. So now it's kind of like a good balance because you can see the difference between someone who wrestles good and they go back and forth and trade and still have an exciting fight versus someone who stands up. And then those two styles collashing can also collide.
I would like to say with everybody that's on my team that has fought for JMTK since I have been a part of the team, has garnered something in a positive way for wrestling that would benefit them, regardless of level of professionalism or amateur.
I mean, for you coming in there with that being a strong suit for you, how well accepted was it? Because that was kind of like the boring version of MMA for most people.
Some days I could see the frustration in the pros that once the striking was done, once the stand-up striking was bypassed,
mm-hmm.
and it was down to wrestling, it was beneficial for the ones that could actually be decent jiu-jitsu.
Okay. So now let's go back into that, to the point where you talked about being not pursuing it through high school and college. I think at this point we have revealed that you're a wrestler, that you wrestle. Why did you take on wrestling then somewhat, I'm going to say, abandon it, for lack of a better word?
What do you mean?
Meaning, you know, post-college, there's only so much wrestling you can pursue because it doesn't, I guess, translate to anything other than WWF, you know, basically, when people think of wrestling.
Yeah. That was still about the time that was I graduated high school back in 92. Or 96, sorry, I started in 92, but I graduated in 96. Maybe it was 93. I'm not sure. I'm a damn math just right.
You was there.
I graduated high school in 96. I wanted to do wrestling. I wanted to continue doing wrestling. At the time, I chose the employment and family.
Yeah.
And then when I had the opportunity to go back, I went back again for a couple of years. And there was a certain point in my college time that I decided to, we'll go ahead and come back and keep with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And just stuck with family. And at that time, it was still my head was still ingrained with the, if you want to win $10,000, you run the risk of some guy holding you on your side, sitting there just punching the shit out of your nuts. And if you can survive that as a wrestler, then you might win $10,000. I mean, who the hell really wants to get punched in the nuts for $10,000? Sorry, not fucking me.
Right.
I'd rather dig a ditch for $7 an hour.
It's safer and you get more. Oh, long term. Long term, you get more than that, $10,000. Okay. Now, once you got into JMTK, at what point did you know you was ready to start taking a real fight?
When I first started, my wife thought I was a little nuts. She still thinks I'm a little nuts for doing it some days. But my thing was, I want to be able to fight. I had done a couple of tough man competitions. Okay, I had won a couple of tough man fights, but I remember gassing out in these little 3-minute sideshow where, who was it? The goalie from the Thunder used to play, used to fight in some of the, I don't remember who it was.
I don't know.
I just remember that and one of the local bouncers used to win the local competitions for the 3-minute, 3-period tough man competitions that go from city to city. I'd done a couple of those.
Yeah.
I actually wanted to get in a real MMA fight like the UFC that had legitimate rules. I'm not worrying about somebody gouging my eyes.
Yeah.
I'm not worrying about somebody sitting there just holding me down, pounding the shit out of my nuts.
But you're talking fast forward from the original UFC
After being with JMTK. Yeah, okay. I found out that there was actually fights by going to this one fight where I seen Cody and seen Dave fight at.
Okay. And when did you take your first fight? In terms of, like, I'm a trained mixed martial artist now.
I took a smoker fight sometime in August, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, somewhere in there. Shortly, about the next year after I was 298 pounds, I took my first smoker fight in August-ish.
Were you nervous?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How did it end?
I won.
You won?
Yeah, of course, I won.
Okay.
In my mind, I won, but it was a you're not winning or you're not losing smoker fight.
Yes, right. Explain smoker fights to people.
They're in essence to get people that say, hey, I want to fight, and you're not necessarily going in there to win. Well, yeah, there are clear, definite winners in some of the smoker fights, but they're fighters that, or people off the street that say, "Hey, I want to fight, but I don't want to. I don't want to get in front of 10,000 people and fight."
Right.
Because who really has, who took speech class in high school or who took speech class in college? It's nervous. It's nerve wracking.
Yeah. What? So you get in this smoker's fight, and all right, it's you, the opponent, someone refereeing. You're in a room full of people, and
who are gym fans?
Huh?
Who are the majority of your gym fans?
Okay.
This gym versus this gym. They're these people's fans or these people's beginner fans.
It's like a professional gang fight.
Yeah.
It's like Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that.
So then at that point, you know, bell ring or whatever ding, it is. Ding, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking knock this kid's block off. He was a lot younger than me, but he was a tough kid, and it was I got hit in the nose. He got hit in the nose. We went to the ground. I remember both hands being raised.
So at the end of that fight, all right, you go back. I'm pretty sure you start to dust yourself off. What was that feeling like to have that?
Exhilarating. I wanted a legitimate fight. I wanted to fight in the ballroom.
All right. Now you have your official sanctioned fight. Now that's a whole different game. What was that like?
Because
now you're saying I'm for real.
Nervous, just like the first one. Butterflies all over.
Now,
my work, I've done some good work. I'm doing some good work. I've prepared.
Now, how old were you at the time?
I first started fighting probably 31, I believe.
So, we can stop alluding around this. We'll just go ahead and jump into this thing about age. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure that comes up a lot. Some opportunities may be missed because of that as well. Is that something that you consciously think about, you know, in this sport? Or do you just kind of say, hey, you know, if I get one, I get one?
What do you mean?
Meaning, like, you know, you recently got a Bellator opportunity last year. But, you know, that's last year compared to when you started to take professional fights and sanctioned fights. Did that feel like, you know, at my age, I would never dream of being able to be on that stage?
I wanted to say that I could do it. I seen other people that were roughly my age doing it, that were wrestling in college at the same time that I was doing it. And I thought, why the fuck can't I?
Mm-hmm.
So why not start one thing? Okay, I'm doing one job. But you show up to an interview for the job you want, not for the job you're applying for, right?
Yeah.
For the job you truly want. That's what you're going to show up for. You can show up for a janitor in a suit and tie, and you might get a desk job. You might go, hey, I don't need you sweeping the floor. I want you sitting over here talking to people the way you can communicate to me. You might be a great salesman.
Yeah.
We'll train you. You showed up in a suit and tie.
Mm-hmm.
So why not train your ass off like that? Why not? If you can do it, why not do it?
Now, would you, you know, looking back at it, do you wish you started earlier, or do you feel like you did it at the right time?
Yeah, I do. No, I wish I would have started earlier. I wish I would have known the rules of not getting hit in the nut and gouged in the eyes was long out of the thing. And some martial arts, I used to think that some martial arts were a joke after watching some of the UFC fights, seeing what in true combat or true in an enclosed area, it's you and one other person, regardless whether there's a ref or not. How well different martial arts matched up against them. I think the first few martial arts actually gauged which ones were better.
Which ones did you think was trash? Kung Fu?
Yeah. Some of the styles. I mean the movements I thought are relevant in some situations.
Yeah.
But in a straight street fight, the grapplers are going to win.
You know, everyone always thinks like, not everyone, but you know, they teach martial arts, I guess, is like the professional word, but a lot of them is like taking karate or something, and says you learn karate, and if someone come attack you in the street, you have this discipline where you can whoop their ass.
You know what you have is hi-ya, 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 okay? There are some well-elevated people in martial arts in different forms, like of some karate. There are some karate kicks that as an MMA fighter that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them because they don't fit my style of fighting and they can come through. I don't like them. But that's probably my own personal self-hatred of, fuck you, dick.
Yeah.
You're getting through my shit.
Right. But and because, I mean, you...
But that's a select amount.
Because you're a grappler.
Right.
And you know, the best way, as Ronda Rousey learned, the best way to beat a grappler is range. Keep them away from you. So, with that, how do you... You know, and you recently at EFC 7 had a fight mm-hmm. with a big striker that you ended up winning this fight,
mm-hmm.
grappling.
Right.
What is the before I go there? So you train out of Fox Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
All right, tell us about that. Tell us about training wrestling versus training in JMTK.
It's a different kind of cardio. It's
It seems exhausting.
It is, and over the years, even though it's been just the basics of drilling, it's just understanding or learning to understand striking and the cardio. You're not going in there just to blaze away anymore. There's actually, you got to slow it down and think about what you're doing before just trying to give your all into everything right off the bat. I used to just try to give my all on every incident because that's what wrestling is.
Yeah.
You have a short amount of time. Bah, 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 bah. Break. Bah, 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 bah. Break. Bah, 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 bah. Break. And you would just go repetitively.
Yeah. What gives me, I'm watching that fight, and we'll be able to see that fight eventually, maybe 2018 on Kate's side. But watching you and him, and it was a couple grapples. And over time, I'm sitting there, because now it's like, I'm used to watching it now. I've been so close to it that I'm looking and I'm just watching the fight because I'm filming it. But at the same time, I'm looking like, dude, are you going to catch a cramp? Like, because you're squeezing, you're trying to get these chokes in and you're holding. And I'm thinking, if it was me, I would have a cramp by then. Like, do you ever... when you're grappling and you're going in for that rear naked or any submission that requires a lot of kind of just pulling that in, keeping it tight, do you ever catch a cramp?
Rarely.
Man, I could, boy, like rarely. A Charlie horse.
I think all martial arts are forms. Everything you do is a form.
Explain and, that.
Boxing cross. Is the what's the most efficient, powered from the ground through the toe, through the heel, through the knee, through the hip, up to the shoulder, and when the hip stops, the shoulder stops, and the hand just extends. Everything's just a straight line. It's the form. There's a 100%. You ever remember the video games where you could sit there and there'd be a pendulum? Okay, you'd have to hit X when it got to here, and then you'd have to hit X when it got to here, and then you'd have to hit B when it got to right here for the most 100% perfect shot in golf or on football running or something. You'd have, or kicking, you'd have to have that pendulum just perfect. There's a form for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything variance from that might be beneficial, might be a negative side of it, but there's all a form for it.
So, do you, you know, I think the last several, I think all the fights I've seen you win, it's all been a submission. Do you, what is that feeling like when you feel a person go lifeless? Do you feel like you got to, I'm going to hold it into the ref, or I'm going to hold it and let go to be a good person?
In my head, I've wanted to, okay, in my head, I've wanted to sit there and spit my mouthpiece out and talk some shit to somebody. If I had a rear naked choke, I wanted to in my head. I've talked to myself about what I'm going to say if I've ever in that position.
Well, you could talk through the mouthpiece.
No. I want them to clearly hear it. I haven't done it.
Why not?
I don't know.
Let's go.
No. I wanted to say something along the lines, don't worry, I'll spit on it before I'm done.
Oh, no. Because you know what? That's disgusting, for one. But for two, I think the 90, like, if you said something that was so demonic, like, you'll meet them soon.
That's one thing. You're going, I'll make sure I kiss your girlfriend before you wake up.
Oh,
I mean, man. Just to screw with somebody.
You should have, man. You know, Chris Harris did a whole lot of talking that last fight, so maybe you could take a pointer and just go, you know what? When I know I got it in there, I'm just going
to
do it.
I'd like to say I like to talk shit. I like to talk shit just because I think it's interesting to get people a little riled up, because then they get emotional about their conversation.
Yeah. See, what's interesting to me, like you say this, and people listening, like Manny has this very mild-mannered kind of delivery. But I've seen this motherfucker just talk the most, like if it was anybody who would kill someone in the cage, I feel like Manny would be that person. Just the one that, if it happened, like, of course, he did it. He's going through.
I can attribute that to what I'm hearing on the sidelines. Take this last fight. There was a point where I literally hear out of my corner that I heard literally, "Get the fuck up." And I'm literally just getting smacked in the head. And I hear, "Get the fuck up." And I
heard that too.
Literally just sat up and just went into muscle memory. And it was, I have somebody in my corner that's actually paying attention, not just, "Come on, let's go. Then I concentrate on a voice.
I'm always curious to that, because when I'm sitting there and I'm listening, I hear everyone talking shit. I'm like, do y'all hear that? Because a lot of times fighters, I seen do it. Cody, I see look over and listen. But a lot of fighters is like, I see the problem. The coaches clearly see the problem. The corner sees the problem, and then they just ignore, or I assume ignore. Is that something that you've learned to listen for, or is it just, I don't know? Like, you're wondering what helped you. Like, you're wondering what coaching you need on the sideline as well.
We're in the gym. We're training. 1 for 1, 2 for 2, 3 for 3. If my coach sees something me screwing up, or I'm drilling arm bars or triangles, and somebody sees me screwing up, are they going to be yelling at me?
In the gym?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No?
No. They're going to be talking to you.
Right.
So we're going to be having a conversation like this. So why not just raise the level of your voice and keep the same conversational tone?
Yeah.
Because then that's what your teammate is hearing you. So during the last 2 weeks of your fight camp, you're getting your ass kicked. Okay, but your teammates are going, "Come on, keep going. This is what you need to do. Keep going. Don't stop on us. What you need to do is this. That's the same level of tone they're going to hear when they're getting their ass whooped on the ground, like I was for the first round of this last fight.
What?
Yeah.
You think he was getting your ass
whooped? Oh, man, dude. After I watched the video, the whole first round, I felt like I was. Now, granted, I had enough time to look at him and go, "You hit like a fucking bitch."
So it didn't hurt.
There were the ones that hit me in the back of the head are the only ones that kind of rocked me.
That's how I was going to hurt you. There's no muscle back there.
I mean, it literally, those were the ones that kind of got to me, but it was the ones that were coming straight on were, I could stop and go, "You hit me like a fucking bitch."
I haven't shared it. I shared it with a friend. It was this one moment that he took this big wild hook. I say wild hook, but I watched several of his fights. That's like a big hook, kind of like Chandler has these big hooks that he throws. And he threw it, and you ducked it so smooth. You wrapped him up from behind, drug him down. And I was just like, that shit was like ballet right there. It was like the type of shit I seen in WWF. Like, when you have these guys, and you being a grappler, you see these guys who when they match you against a striker, let's say, and he's ready to knock your block off, are you able to time that, or are you just so used to these people kind of taking the same approach?
When I train, a lot of people go, "No, I'm the fighter. They're going to train for me. They're going to watch me fight." I've heard fighters just say, "No, I don't watch any of their videos."
Yeah.
They need to watch my videos.
Yeah.
When I find out my fighter, I watch their videos. I will. Who don't want to do their homework? Who don't want to go to an extra seminar? If the guy's a head kicker, who the hell don't want to go to a seminar for a guy that's coming in town who you know is a head kicker? Why not learn a few extra techniques?
Right.
It's going to school. I mean, you're not just going to say, hey, yeah, I'll fight him. No, you want to learn a little about him and go, okay, yeah, this will be a doable fight. I think I can win this, whether I'm getting fed to the sharks or I know this is going to be a tough fight or I really think I can win. Or
do you think they just wait? They take that approach because they're not in the big league yet. When I'm in the big league, then I'll worry about these people. But right now, I'm the baddest motherfucker walking.
If you are a professional fighter, you should always think you're in the big leagues.
Fair enough. You know what? I'm glad that I'm going to take that and say, I think anything you do, you should feel like you're the best at. Like,
if you don't, why the fuck are you doing it?
There you go. For fun, for attention, we're in an attention.
But why
world.
Not? If you're wanting to be attention whore, why not be the best at whatever you're gonna do?
Hey, there you go. That's one way to not have to work for the attention. At least work as hard. I guess it's hard work still. All right.
It is.
So, when you did get that Bellator opportunity, you're fighting on the stage with Chris Harris. You got, of course, Rickles. He was the main. I think that was the main.
It was the four horsemen. It was Ty, Chris, me, and Dave.
And Dave. Yeah. But also, I mean, we'll throw some honorable mentions out there. We did Brandon Phillips. No, did Brandon make that fight?
No, the first one was the four horsemen. I've still got the poster in there hanging up on the wall.
Yeah. I thought he was on that fight.
Hmm. It was the second one.
Okay. But LJ Hemrick was on there. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of local guys was on that. We in the Four Horsemen, what he means of movie, you can find a short film on YouTube, youtube.com/arrowfilms, arrowfilms, ARROWE films on YouTube. Look up the Four Horsemen, THE, the number four horsemen. Anyway, after having that fight, you lost that fight.
Yeah.
All right, but was that a 3-round or two? What happened there?
My first Bellator fight ended up being called a knockout. I don't believe I was knocked out.
Right.
I remember going to the ground. I remember trying to turn and roll but right beforehand, we were given the instruction from John McCarthy that if you curl up or you turn away, even with slight second, they were calling the fight. So even if I was to turn over and try to attack an ankle, I was getting the fight called, so it was.
See, and now that you said that, I remember the fight, and I attribute it to just not knowing you as a fighter, because right. You see a lot of fighters do something similar to what you did, kind of like I'm rolling up under the legs, or I'm trying to sneak out, and I think that even happened in your fight at EFC 7. I think a lot of it was just not knowing you as a fighter, right. Not knowing this is something you do and calling it early. Thinking I need to protect this fighter because he turned his back. You know, a lot of them say
the guy was a boxer. I mean, I knew he was a straight, hardcore, hard hitting boxer. Right, and out of the first 15 seconds of the fight, I knew he was going to come with some good hard hits. It was enough to say we're going to the ground.
Now after that fight, you go right back, you know, to the back, and now you're cheering on, and you're in the park. How do you make that transition so quick? Because you have to be frustrated, pissed off. You shaved your head. The whole fucking transformation after.
I can't say I know why I shaved my head. I just shaved my head, said, fuck this. It's time to start anew. Wash this shit clean and over with.
I mean, he was a new person.
He
was just in the fight. I turned around. He looked like a serial killer.
Hey, he's the guy. He went on to fight another Jandira guy. And got smoked in shorter amount of time.
Man, he comes back looking like Taxi Driver after that fight.
So I'm not too frustrated. I got declared a knockout. I don't think I was knocked out, but hell, there's even a fucking a YouTube video of me getting knocked out. His fans kind of had some little joke to it and whatever, and I go, okay, yeah, that's funny, and it was probably less than a year and he's getting knocked out by Chidi.
Well, there you go. It's a done deal. Now he's not probably you should turn around and take his clip.
Yeah, a true striker.
All right. So what I want to do,
mm-hmm.
Because we talked a little, actually before we do that, as a man your age who's done what you've done, who's been able to go from wrestling, you know, making a life for you and your family, then going back, being able to have the opportunity to go back into MMA, fight at a high level, go to Bellator, continue to fight. Give someone who's thinking about doing this some advice if you can.
Talking about age, can we take a break? I got a piss.
All right. You know what? After you said that, I was going to take a break, but let's take a break. We'll be right back on the Catch These Hands podcast.
Go ahead. Brownie.
And we're back. I've never done that before. Now I'm going to make this a regular commercial break thing.
Brought to you by some old man's,
I don't know,
molasses. Yeah. You know, old man like molasses oil. Cookies. hold on.
You had a question for me right beforehand.
Yeah, the question was, once you give someone who may think this is not a sport for them because they're too old, they don't think they're ready, but they do have a little talent, either some old boxing in them or some wrestling as you have or whatever, what if they want to try it or think they should try it or probably shouldn't try it, what would you tell them?
Door of opportunity opens or knocks, kick that motherfucker in.
But that's easy. That's cliche. Give them something that's like real. Like, hey, if a guy came to your quick trip.
How many hitchhikers you ever picked up on the side of the road?
How many what?
How many hitchhikers you ever picked up on the side of the road?
None.
I picked up numerous.
You know what? One. I got one.
I've actually hitchhiked 4 or 5 times.
I'm not surprised.
Opportunity. You never know who you might meet. You never know what conversations you might have with somebody.
And you're still alive.
Yeah.
And you're still alive. So that's here we go. Take the opportunity, and you'll live through it. Maybe. Shoot yourself in the mouth. That's a whole different deal.
Hey, at least getting into a ring or getting into a cage, there's rules. There's somebody there that's going to stop somebody from robbing you and punch, they're going to punch you in the mouth, but at least they ain't going to rob you of something. What are they going to rob you of? Your dignity?
Possibly.
Yeah. Hey. Your pain tells you how alive you are.
All right. Before we transition to part B of this episode, what I do want to do, there was some interesting remark that you made going into this fight about someone wishing you good luck. Go ahead and expand on that.
Fuck luck.
Okay.
Fuck luck. Fuck luck. Luck is a slot machine. I mean, hell, I go to them. Good luck. Good luck on what? All you did was just say that the months that I just did of training, the hours, 10 to noon, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8, sometimes 4 to 6 days a week. And then doing some cardio late at night, maybe some bag work in the garage or run the neighborhood. You tell me the engineers that are building skyscrapers or planning trains to go light speed across the world. You're going to tell them, hey, good luck on your training there to say this thing's going to work. Hey, good luck. Let's cut the blue ribbon. Let's hope it works.
But don't you, I mean, it's granted, it's kind of a standard statement, but a lot of it's like in theater, break a leg is a right. thing. Of course, they're not talking about your leg.
They're talking about their leg.
All right. Okay. But
break a leg. I want somebody to stand up and break a leg standing up applauding.
You know what? I didn't know that.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's how I was thinking.
I was like, wait a minute. You know what? That actually makes sense. You know what? And it's fair.
Positive reinforcement goes 10 times further than, hey, good luck on what you've been working on. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks.
What would be the right thing to say?
In fighting?
Anything where someone says good luck, I guess. I mean, because a lot of this is transferable.
I know you got this.
Okay.
Good job. You've worked your ass off for this. Get this. Smash this motherfucker's face. Break his ankle. I mean, they're all still positive in her face. Smash his face. Break a leg.
Mm.
It's the same thing.
Okay. So saying good luck. What's another one? What's another bad one to say? I know it's good luck, and that's more common, but...
You ready?
You know what? I'm guilty of doing that with Dave.
Are you ready? And are you fucking kidding me? Shit, I just spent hours upon hours of getting my face smashed in by Chris Harris.
Yeah.
Tyler Ingram.
Yeah.
Stephen Wynn. Dave Rickles.
Yeah.
Hell, Jessica Middleton smacks the shit out of me if we get in some kind of hook combination.
Mm.
Consistently. She but thinks I hit her hard, but hey, are you ready? No, motherfucker, I just got my ass whooped for months on end. No, I'm not ready. Now, the best response I've ever came up for somebody is, I will be on that day.
That's a good one.
But it's hard for me to tell a fan, goes, oh, fuck. Are you ready? Are you really fucking, or 2 days before the fight, are you really questioning, am I ready?
Yeah. I remember Dave saying to me, I asked him that on camera, and he says, that's the worst question, because if I got this far and I'm not ready, then I really shouldn't be here right now.
So why the fuck are you questioning me?
Yeah.
Even with kids, I off and on coach kids wrestling. Positive reinforcement goes 10 times further than telling a kid, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong. Why don't you tell them what the other kid is doing wrong so that kid can see, okay, I see what he's doing wrong. I'm gonna capitalize on what he's doing wrong. And that's how I listen.
Mm.
When I'm in my corner beforehand and I talk to my corners who I know is going to be ringside, I'll tell him a few things, what I need.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to tell me what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'm staring at the man in the chin or his face or his hips or I'm watching whatever I'm trying to pay attention to, I need to hear this. I need to hear something that I may not be paying attention to.
Right. Good luck.
See?
All right. So we're going to make a hard transition. So, you know, I mentioned earlier about conspiracy theory, conspiracy theorists. And here, I won't attempt to define conspiracy. What I will do is say, this is going to be my personal belief, is that conspiracy, you can't have conspiracy without truth in it, personally. That's how I feel. There has to be, you know, a root, a framework that we all agree
on.
Huh?
You have to have a multiple belief.
Okay.
Multiple beings believing the same thing for it to be a conspiracy.
Well, not so much the multiple people believing as much as there is a framework that we agree upon. Now, how we splinter that framework is different.
Uh-huh.
So, and we'll go, you know, so many of them. JFK, for instance. We agree that he got shot. We agree on what we saw, in a way. Is that, but then the sequencing of events afterwards is where we
are. You wanting my take on the JFK assassination?
Well, I'm just using that as an example to say there's parts of this we agree on. We agree he got shot, where he got shot, who shot him, and then, you know, these things after the fact, Lee Harvey Oswald, him getting killed, and all these other things that go with some of the things that surround it is where we can start to develop the conspiracy of, do we agree with what the facts told us?
I think the same cloak and dagger shit is being pulled on us with the Las Vegas shooting too.
Okay, we're going to do that.
I'm not saying the exact same cloak and dagger, but I think something is being pulled over people's eyes.
Like what?
I think the JFK was more of assassination for control issues.
What kind of control?
More of the monetary system. He was wanting to end the Fed Reserve.
JFK.
Yes.
Okay.
I think that was one of the reasons why another reason was that he just didn't want to go with the status quo that was told upon him when he took office.
Okay. And all right, fuck it. Who did it? Or what leans you? What do you lean towards? With that,
there are enough people in your government to control
that control what is being done to you by corporations. I think more of ours is ran by corporate, more like the rich.
Okay. Now, do you mean corporate or do you really mean rich? Obviously,
mean rich. I'm rich, talking but rich. The people who own corporate America.
Okay. I'm going to assume you mean Bilderbergs.
Yeah, that would be
okay.
Name. Yeah.
Hey, look, I don't want to get shot. The views and opinions expressed by Manny Mraz is not that of the I'm Kind of Famous podcast, despite what I say tonight.
Hey, don't be a bitch.
All right, let's go with Vegas. Let's talk about Vegas. I'll say right now, I think we've had so much blood and shootings and shit that I'm practically desensitized by mass killing now, unfortunately. And I hate to say that.
I don't think you are until you sit there and watch a mass shooting that actually happens right in front of you.
Well, yeah, right. But I think because...
With me playing paintball and literally just looking at somebody and being able to put something into their face and look at them and know that if they didn't have a mask on, that I would take their eye out and still go, I'm going to shoot you 6 times across the throat.
Yeah, but what I mean is...
That's minimal compared to watching somebody blast away with an AR-15 to numerous people.
What I mean is the... multiple events of this, of like you're giving me this all the time. It becomes, it's like if I was watching a comedy or like MMA. Let me compare it to MMA. If you watch, if there's 10 fights on the card, five of them are hot as shit. Then the next five is hot as shit. 8, 9, and 10, I'm just whatever because I've seen back to back so many hot.
It's hard to outdo the next one.
Well, not so much I outdo, it's just think I can only give flu. So okay, much okay, energy
think,
to
think
it.
Think of swine flu. Think of Ebola. Think of the GMO mosquitoes. Think of the flu epidemic. Think of the anti-vax movements. Think of what's recently just gone on, Antifa. Do you not think that corporate America is not controlling your media enough to get you to thinking about this? And if they inbred it or ingrain it and ingrain it and ingrain it into your head, that's all you think about is A and B or blue and red, white and black. And that's all you're thinking about, that we're in constant perpetual war of this. We're the white team. That's the black team. Or we're the blue team. That's the red team. This is what we are. We can't ride the middle because nobody gives a shit about the middle because you need to take a stand on something. And if you take a stand on something and you're on the wrong side, well... ultimately, you're either a fucking hypocrite or you think the other side needs to die.
Can one be on both sides without being a hypocrite? Isn't that the middle?
No.
Why wouldn't that be the middle?
What is the middle? The middle is supposed to be the government. And when you ask the government to control the other side, you're paying to literally force the other side to do something. And what happens when they don't want to do something? How far is one side willing to pay that government entity, regardless of what entity it is, to force the other one to do it?
When you say government, entities, are you mean we the people, or you mean other governments?
Who's
other
really
countries?
We the people?
Hmm?
Who's we the people?
Well, I mean the citizens.
Because the citizens don't collect shit from the government but hassles and force taxes.
See, all right, he's wanting to get to that. I'm gonna let you get to your taxes and theft, but not yet.
Okay, we get to whatever.
but I mean, when you say okay, there's two oppositions. You know, we'll just say red team, blue team.
Okay,
and then there's the middle.
Okay.
But you said there is no middle because you know you're either on one side or the other. It makes you a hypocrite, or you are. What did you say? I forgot. You said you're either going to be a hypocrite or you're going to be something else.
In essence, I don't remember what
it is. All right, fuck it. But see, now I forget where I'm going. Let's go to Vegas. Talk to me about Vegas. So, like I said, I said I was desensitized to it, but I just don't, like, you know, a lot of it seems strange, of course, but I say that as a black male, right? So I say that as a man who thinks I would never be able to walk in with two guns without being we'll just say put on a list or being noticed. All right. And then I go, fuck, it's Vegas. You know, security everywhere. There's no way that this happens this way. But it being Vegas. But then I go, it's a white man. Of course he'll be able to do this. Huh?
It happened on a suite floor. When you pay for those suite floors, you pay for a little bit of privacy from those cameras on those suite floors.
You still have to get to the suite floor.
Correct.
All right. So if
you've had this suite for days in and days out, have they checked on every single person that has rented on that floor? Have they checked on every single employee that has had access to those floor enough over the last 2 weeks to place firearms? Has this room been rented out for the last 2 weeks prior to him being there?
But I don't think that's...
It has a big variance on who videotaped. It has, or what was videotaped and what time frame was videotaped. What is relevant?
So I got this bag here.
Yeah.
Or I got a duffel bag.
Right.
I mean, I could get plenty of shit in that duffel bag over 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
But it wouldn't be... I don't think it would raise any hairs over Correct. 2 weeks. So, I mean, I don't necessarily look at that as a cloak and dagger, per se, as much as, yeah, that's a way to get that much artillery up to
a... the video cameras? I mean, hell, what the fuck? I can't scratch my nuts at a Vegas table.
Well, there is the freedom of information. I mean, it could take a while, but you got the freedom of information where you can get that information. What was the casino
name? I've completely forgot because it's just another sideshow that's going to fucking take Mandalay
Bay
else.
Or something.
Okay. I think it was the Mandalay Bay.
Okay.
They ain't got fucking cameras.
Yeah, they...
Who the fuck really wants to go drop tens of thousands of dollars at the Mandalay Bay if they don't have fucking top-notch cameras?
Right.
For their protection.
But are we saying that
somebody in Vegas has fucking video of him walking into that fucking casino or somebody walking into that casino 50 fucking times.
But should we see it?
Now, regardless of whether, I don't think he even done it.
Mm. But before we get there, something like that, do you think we should have to see it or we should see it?
As the American people?
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, because there's some degree that they could say, well, we want to be responsible here and not just let any old kook see all this video.
I think if the actual news media actually told us the fucking truth about what the fuck was going on in the world, then yeah, we should fucking see it.
Okay. So.
The majority of your mainstream media isn't telling you shit that's actually correct.
I definitely don't disagree, and I watch the shit every day.
So why I think there should be fucking, I hate the federal government, but the federal government should protect the people from corporations. The corporation being the media too. You shouldn't be able to lie the media wise and promote it.
But do you think, all right, so at this point, based on what you said, the media is a lie. They release footage of what, you know, of the guy doing whatever. They give you the raw footage, right?
Right.
But don't you think that once you believe it's a lie and they show it's on the media, it's like...
There's not much more you can fucking actually pay attention to. You can watch the news meeting, you go so-and-so, and the first thing you said, you see the number of death toll. That's it. And then they have the picture of the suspect, and they see the death toll. And they have somebody going, oh my God, how could this be the greatest mass shooting? On and on and on. I'm sitting there going, are you fucking kidding me? The greatest mass shooting happened by the United States fucking federal government.
Black Wall Street. But
continuously, day in and day out.
But all right.
For with your taxes.
So,
and mine too, unfortunately.
What I'm saying more so is, once you have this, like when you have bad credit, someone has bad credit, meaning not money, just like as a person.
Right.
I don't trust what they say.
Ones and zeros.
And I just mean as a person.
Okay.
Like as a person, you're a shitty individual. You lie. All right.
And now you got debt.
And now you tell me the truth. It's hard for me to believe you because I believe you're a liar. So what I mean is the media gives you the actual thing that happened that we're saying, give us the video of the guy. They give it to you. I think you still end up with a run of people to say that this is bullshit. This is manufactured information.
You still will. You will. But if you put the actual and go here.
But isn't that the problem?
The fucked up part is, you know how it all gets swept under? Who are they going to charge? Nothing gets put out in the Freedom of Information Act if nobody gets charged.
You're talking about it for the crime,
right? For the actual mass shooting, who the fuck's going to get charged? Nobody.
Yeah.
So who's
because the alleged person is dead.
Right. So they don't have to put that shit out for the Freedom of Information Act, because there's no charge, there's no case, there's no open case, and if it's a closed case, you can't ask for it because there's no charges.
Hmm. But this on my main show, the I'm Kind of Famous podcast, we tackled.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I feel that they're getting around being able to open records on.
Well, the Kanika Jenkins case, for once. I don't know if you know anything about it, but
I paid a little bit of attention to it. It's the girl who got stuck in the freezer.
Right. So, and I'm on the show because I'm on record because I did a whole show about it. I said the friends had something to do with it. I really felt like she was murdered because for what same thing that we're talking about now with Vegas. Where's the video? Where's the additional video that shows her? You know, it's a hotel. Every hotel, major hotel, is going to have security cameras. I was like, show me, you know, show me or show me the friends at the reception desk. Show me her walking by the reception. Like, show me all this stuff other than what you picked and choose. And then talk about a lie. The lawyers for the family, I believe, had said that the kitchen that we saw her in the video, the surveillance video, wasn't the kitchen that she was found in. Ultimately, over time, they released the police finding her, and it was in the kitchen that she was last seen at.
Okay, my question.
And I just mentioned that because it was a conspiracy.
Now, was she a witness to a crime?
Allegedly.
Okay. I feel personally, no matter where you work, you should be able to carry a firearm, personally. If your work or your place of employment says that, hey, you can't carry a firearm here, you either, one, need to carry security cameras so that they can identify any kind of, you are voluntarily giving up your right to carry a firearm on that place of employment if you choose to continue working there. Because they say you can't work here if you have this, and you hold no state, that you'd be able to hold no state grudge because they said if you carry a firearm, we'll fire you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they have the video camera, or say they have an armed security guard, that would be the other option.
Mm-hmm.
They would be responsible for providing security for you.
Mm-hmm.
That means that security guard would be saying, hey, for $20 an hour, I'm putting my life on the line to make sure you get from your car to inside this building 8 hours a day and back to your car. We're taking responsibility for you. Otherwise, you can carry a firearm and you take your own responsibility for your own life.
Now, why do you say that? Why do you say that? I mean,
because the situation's there. There's cameras.
Mm.
There's cameras everywhere. If you have a camera and it's not working, but you tell your employees, hey, that camera's working. I got a bit of safety now.
Yeah.
I just got a little safety net because I know somebody's watching. Somebody should be watching.
Right.
Otherwise, fuck you. I need a gun.
Right. Right. Okay.
I hate a litigious society, but that should be a point where if my company that I'm working for says you're under camera, you can't carry a firearm.
But in this case, she wasn't working. She was at a party. I mean, a hotel party. And I do agree with that.
The hotel has a sign to say no firearms.
Right. But I do agree.
You better have a camera everywhere ready.
That's what I was going to say, is that I do feel like, you know, it's too many things that can happen. For one, I don't give a fuck where you have a camera. I know at least there should be a camera at the reception desk. I go to plenty of them and I see, mm-hmm. I look up and I see them. I look for them on purpose to see who's looking at me. Now, for them not to release, for the timeline that they gave me of what was alleged to happen originally, and granted, I'll give the police this, they wasn't the one that built this timeline. Everyone else was creating a timeline. They just refused to comment on some of these things. But I guess I mentioned that in correlation to the Vegas thing is like, there could be video evidence, and then when you see the evidence, you see people distort that video content as well because they see something different.
Money. Think of
I think the money aspect comes from the when we
holds the video.
Hold on.
Hey, those that hold the answers.
Well, fuck the video. Hold the money. I just want to say, regardless of what I say today, the views expressed is not the I'm Kind of Famous podcast. But I do feel like that's where the media plays the most.
I think we're all going to die. It's just a matter of how much information you can get into everyone else's brain before you die.
Yeah, well, the views expressed. but like, when I look at, so I think today actually I did say this before coming over here, is like, I feel like the genius of the media to me, today at least, before, you know, versus when I grew up and definitely when you grew up to now, the genius of the media is like, it's not media, it's entertainment more than anything.
Yeah.
So when they are putting things on TV, urgency, breaking news, all this shit on the screen is not about like informing you. It's like a suspenseful movie. Like, oh, breaking news. What's going to keep me there? Just like I do when I make a film. I need you to stay. And so by putting all this shit on the screen, everything's a cliffhanger. Oh, we just got this new information. When it's not new information, it's the same shit I heard 2 hours ago. And then you start to go, my God, the guy in Vegas, oh, his wife is in China. What does she know? Well, fuck, it doesn't matter. She was in China. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, all these little, when they say we're going to, when they're basically saying, I'm going to build a storyline for you guys to keep y'all here. What more information can I give you? Because in the end of the day, if we say that he did it, right? Let's just say he shot these people. The only thing that matters is people are dead. He shot them. Now let's figure out. I don't even know if we figure out why. There's nothing we can do at that point. Hey, so let's do it for. Huh? Oh, this motherfucker scared the shit out of me. I'm like, what happened? There's someone behind me.
It's how much attention can I keep on you? Because then what happens? You sell time.
Right.
You sell advertising.
Yep.
I mean, regardless of what you wear, is selling advertising.
Yeah.
And fighters have to do it.
Yeah.
You're in entertainment. You're selling something.
It's all
sponsorship wise.
Fox News isn't even considered news. It's entertainment.
Right.
It's classified as entertainment.
I think it all is. I think every single.
It has to be a balance of information on that show. Depending on how much you give is how you get qualified as news. And it's interesting to me that Fox News is not news. If you, because I work for a telecommunication company. So.
See, and I never knew that. I never knew that Fox News was listed as entertainment.
It's entertainment.
I just personally believe that all those news, Fox, CBS, NBC, they're all puppet.
Headline news.
Fucking,
it's entertainment.
You know what headline is? Woo, this is what's happening right now.
It's because a lot of the shows is just opinion-based.
Hey, but on page 3, look at this advertising for here.
Well, that's the newspaper. All right, so.
No, I'm just talking TV.
Huh?
I'm just talking TV.
Well.
Because what happens in between the 6 or 5 minute skit that they have, right, news right after these commercials?
Yeah, that is true. He said skit. All right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and it's, I know that because I'm in that industry, but when you see it, it's all opinion based information. A lot of news is opinion based, right? Yeah. And so it has to be a balance between how much actual, and I'm quoting news because y'all can't see that. I'm quoting news and how much is opinion.
You know how much is truth of everything you hear?
Shit. For me, I don't believe shit.
Just enough for you to believe it?
This motherfucker. Shit. All right. Let me see. Where's my list?
If you can convince 10 of your closest friends to do something at the same time, you convince them of truth.
So, yeah. I mean, so here's the thing. I'm going to tell you, this
truth
is the thing.
Perception of reality.
This is the, it's funny you say that, because this is the thing that I do say a lot, is that there's a difference between truth and fact. Truth changes.
Right.
Facts are facts.
Right.
And if I give you truth, when I talk to people, when I do interviews, like I said, it's not a matter of me and you agree. It's just your truth is going to be different than my truth, but facts are facts. And we can disagree on the facts. But it's just because of where we come from and our truth.
Hey, the facts are you and I are sitting here. The truth
and
is,
it changes.
The truth is I'm looking at you. Your truth is you're looking at me.
Right. This motherfucker here. See what we doing? This is mixed martial arts, people. So let me ask you this. Actually, I'm going to let you go into taxes or theft. Because before
that goes we go back into A and B and blue and red.
Well, you. This is a thing that I mean, in one of your fights, you had it marked on your back.
Mm-hmm.
You let Chris Harris say it at the last fight.
You ever wonder why I don't get the microphone?
No, I think you didn't get the microphone just because.
Because why?
All right, I'm gonna tell you why I think, and I don't. You know, I'm probably gonna make someone upset here. I think that one.
I may not too wholeheartedly believe that, but that could be an underlying thing with the last few fights I've had.
I don't think it's because, in terms of EFC, I don't think it's because, I think it could play a part. I think some people are nervous. I think people are nervous.
It does.
Where I love that kind of shit. I mean, because to me, that's no different than what Chris did, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like if you want these guys, I personally look at it like, I don't like the idea that just, like, this is not a family show. I don't care how what happens in that casino?
Beating the shit out of somebody is, if you think that's family, okay, you're truly teaching somebody to be a human being, to get the shit beat out of them, because you're ultimately testing your pain tolerance.
Okay.
That tells you how much you're alive.
But, I mean, just in terms of, like, I hate when the music is edited and they say don't curse and don't do, like, we're fighting. Okay, like, this is PG, like, this is, if it was watching TV, this would be classified a place where kids probably need to be. You know, and if your parents, they didn't come by themselves, so their parents are allowing this, so they got to allow the rest of what happens. If you say, don't say the F word, okay, fine. But, like, to just be like, don't curse, make sure the music is this.
I'm not even so sure on don't say the F word. I could say something along the lines of, don't say anything sexually vulgar. Explicit.
Okay.
Nothing sexually explicit. I mean, if you're talking about, what the hell is the song, my neck, my back, my whatever.
Pussy in my crack.
Yeah, that's it.
Let's kill.
Okay. if that one was rocked out to by, say, one of the female fighters, it necessarily wouldn't be looked great upon by her, but that's her own persona, that if that's really what she's playing, because this is entertainment.
Right.
This is, whether it's fighting or putting on your true hard work, this is entertainment.
See, I just look at it like, you know,
we're all slaves. We're just paid slaves.
Okay. I'm all right, but I just mean entertainment. But as an entertainer, mm-hmm. right? I look at the sport, and Dave knows I always bring this up. WWF, like, if you go out there and you go taxes at theft, or you spew out whatever you're gonna say, and people hate you, like,
I haven't found one person to hate me because of it.
Well, I just
except I've had some issues with the commission.
I just mean, if there's a visceral response from something you do, the chance of them coming back to either want to see you get your ass whooped or cheer you, that's butts and seats. And that's all that matters. So what does it matter? If you go up there and say that and people boo you, I would love it, because I would go, wow, the people are reacting to this, right? Like, if you know.
How family friendly is that?
If they said all the fighters to the stage for the national anthem, and all the black ones kneeled, and then now that black fighter comes out to fight, and everyone's booing, now they want to see him get his ass whooped, right? Like, I just look at it as entertainment.
That's a different
and not
type
so
of
much.
Hatred. That's not a that's not a that's they hate them because it's a they're just not seeing a different point. It's not a it.
Right, it's a reaction, and that's what you want these people to do.
A lot of these people aren't playing a persona.
I know. I mean, I understand.
When I talk about taxes or theft and walking out, I love animals. I do. I'd say an animal person. I walk into someone's house, animals are walking up to me. That's not a persona of me. That's me. But when you're playing in the entertainment, there are spots where you have to play into the same persona. Whether it's you still have to play into the comical persona.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to carry on conversations you wouldn't have and play into a comical persona that relates to what you truly are. But that's not jokingly you. There's a lot of times I'm not joking. I'm just literally just straight face, and I'll conversate with people because conversation, whether it's something you want to hear or you don't want to hear, is still a conversation that you should hear.
Right. I don't even know how I got here now. We was talking about taxes or theft.
Yeah, taxes.
So how did you get there? What was this place where you decided, like, I need to get this message out? Because we people who follow you, which is impossible to follow. So they not know that impossible. You have kind of the, because your name changes every goddamn week.
Every few months. And that's just my personal one. My fight page will stay the same, because that's for promoting the entertainment part of
making money.
Right. It's the entertainment part. It's the I express some of my personal feelings on my fight page, but if you want to see my personal page, yeah, chances are you're going to sit in the hold box for like 20 to 30 days, maybe 6 months.
I got motherfuckers in there for a year. I got family who ain't my friend yet.
But there's a method to my madness. There's a reason why, because what happens is when you accept one person, you get a message started with them saying you started a relationship with them.
I don't know why.
And
Facebook.
Then you follow them.
Yeah.
So I do it all at once. I do like 25 or 30 and then post one thing, because the first thing that's going to pop up on their feed list is that
thing
so
said.
And so and you are friends, and here's the first thing they said.
Yeah.
So when they come up, it's something along here. Here's my first Fuck You Friday post. Pay attention to this. If you don't like it, you can defriend me now.
Right.
I've accepted 30 at a time and then lost 35 in one time. And then 2 days later, I'm getting hit up with 10 more friend requests.
Right.
And some of them that I personally know or I've had conversations with, I don't make them wait months on end.
Yeah.
Because they actually understand me. I don't want somebody sitting there going, okay, yeah, I'm friends with them. I'm friends with them. I don't need friend whores to personally like my personal page.
Right. See, I see when you do that sort of thing. And like, for me, it's interesting. And I know, like, maybe, and I don't know, and I'm assuming that people just ignore it as like, oh, just another crazy person on the internet. I more so look at it like, where does that come from? Like, what is he? Because I like conspiracies personally. Yeah. And so it's not
why
like,
does
and
he
I
think
keep
that way.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, right.
Why do they think that
so
way?
It's not even like I'm bothered if you say something that would, I guess I don't really get offended, but something that would offend me, I was just like, I'm finna watch these comments. I want to see like what dialogue is had and where he's going with this. And then if I jump in, I jump in. And
if somebody gets offended off of the first few comments on something I post, they're gonna have a hell of a time come the 200th or 300th comments. It's gonna be down
the
line.
And that's why I wait. Because, you know, fuck Facebook.
And I know. No matter, there could be 15, or there could be 100 likes, or there could be 50 comments on there. And I know I could double every single one of those numbers. Say there's 50 comments and 50 likes. I could tell you there's another 100 people listening and paying attention to that and watching what is being said there.
What's the... And I'm going back to your Vegas thing, but yeah. What's the red herring on the Vegas? What you? Because you said you don't believe that is what it is. What is it? What do you think?
This
it is
my opinion. I think that at one time he was an arms dealer. He personally had to
God
deal
damn,
with some
had
kind
of
arms
of
dealer. Okay, but not that he actually had his hands on them. Okay, I think this meeting was just a setup for him to get caught with them, so he could be blamed for whatever atrocious thing that they could keep us attracted with. And what better way to kill an arms dealer than to with his own firearms and set up a meeting to know that we're just killing you? I mean, how much money was in the area? How much money really to buy all that?
Why couldn't they just kill him?
Right. They had to find a found. What are they going to find him with? They're just going to kill
no,
a guy?
No, I mean, just kill him.
They're going to kill a guy?
Yeah. Why not?
Why not make it up and set it up for some kind of the next big thing?
Because nothing comes from it. Like, that's always been my thing. It's like, so I, you know, I'm going to say conspiracy of these events, right? So, like, Sandy Hook, all this kind of shit. It's like, all right, and I'm just going to say this from a very surface version of this, is they do this because they're trying to take our guns.
I think it was an overseas dealer who was going to kill him, and our government knew what was going to happen and let it happen and took advantage of the situation.
and somewhere, shape, or form took advantage, and somewhere along the
line. So you're saying it's a cross, like, all right, this guy's going to get killed, but we want to create a event behind this, but these two things are going to interlock with each other.
Because we already have test settings up. Notice how many hotels had the same shit going on at the same time for one shooter, two shooters out of one window.
What do you mean? Same thing.
They had the reports of other hotels having drills of people running through with armed weapons at the same time of the shooting going on. Mm. How many people throughout fucking Las Vegas really have? I mean, they've had two or three different videos of people being escorted out with 7 to 8 men with black, all blacked out with.
But you know, they said.
So now tell me, how many people of those are there that you didn't see beforehand going into that hotel? Now, how many of those did you see going out? There are enough people that have witnessed video that have just come up disappeared now. There's what, witness number 5 or number 6 that just came out the other day?
Oh, is this... see, so that's what I mean. It's so many of these damn things I can't remember. So, this is the one where, like, there was a witness. Just,
oh, hey, I got a witness video.
And then that guy decided...
You just... fucking said you're dead. You better get a fucking life insurance policy. Pay your family because everybody's got a price on their head.
But it's so weird though. Like they had, I guess it was the security guard, wasn't it, that stopped cooperating or something like that? Like,
and ends up dead.
Was he dead? Yeah. He's dead?
I think so. Oh, I'm not positive, but I mean, there's. We gonna hell, who subjects. The fuck really Jesus wants to? Christ. Who the hell really wants to come out in a time of this if they know other witnesses are dying? Who really wants to come out? And then your next thing is who the fuck are you coming out against right now? Because who's getting charged with what? Who the fuck are you coming out to?
But that's why I
or
think...
Or who the hell are you coming out for?
So are we saying that if...
I'm not saying don't come out. I'm saying that there's not enough people that are going to back you enough to overthrow whoever the fuck it was that helped set this mass shooting up for whatever gun control they could possibly do. Think about this. They don't need to come in and outlaw every single fucking gun that you own. What they need to do is make enough felony laws out there for you to become a felon, because then you can no longer own a fucking firearm. The moment you can no longer own a firearm, then you're fucking de-armed. Once you're de-armed, then they can come in and take over the people that have goes, I'm a good fucking citizen. I registered my firearms.
But,
how to go?
All right, but when it comes to, you said it's already a, you can, if you are a felon, you're not supposed to get a gun. Just as it is.
They're the only smart motherfuckers. Going to fuck the system.
Okay.
I'm not saying some of the shit they've done in their life is smart. I'm just saying that's a good smart aspect right there. Fuck the system. Whether it's
and get one anyway. Or black market.
Yeah. Whether you're trying to rob me, Joe Smo's trying to rob me, the robber down the street's trying to rob me, the fucking government's robbing me already, but I'm just going, yep, my name is Rhodes. I'm just voluntarily paying for fucking somebody else to die. It's just not me dying.
Now,
and because it's another country or it's another city, who the fuck cares?
Well, okay, tell me this. Because
think of it. Illinois gets federal dollars, right?
Yes.
Okay. Why the fuck Chicago got gun laws?
I don't know. I don't know. And I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask. Then why is there... If the deal about guns is about the smart people who can subside this, why is it always problematic for black people to have guns?
Because you're scary.
We're scary. Yeah. Black people scary.
Yeah.
As in reactionary.
No.
Oh, scary as intimidating.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying white people are intimidated by black people. I'm saying that over the years that... black people have been labeled as inferior, and now that they're being brought up to the same level, because I'd say in today's society, not because I want it that way, but if a white person and a black person are dressed against the same way, but you have somebody else of authority, who do you think really they're going to judge better comparative to how they're dressed?
Mm.
I can honestly tell you that the white person is going to be judged better than the black person.
Regardless of dress.
Regardless of dress. They can both look like a homeless person, and the white guy is going to get more credit than the black guy will in this day and age, unfortunately.
Why do you think we are black people are in that much intimidating when you when we're talking about a group of people who have so much power.
I think of a society as imploding itself by letting the slaves revolt to them to a high enough standard. Now, I'm not saying black people shouldn't have been revolted. I think we're all slaves. I think we're just in tears. We're at a point where color is being eliminated, but still be trying to, corporate America is still holding us down by colors, by keeping us differently, keeping us separated by color. And the more the melting pot is, the less they have control over by race. Then they stick to control over guns. Now we need your safety. You guys all need to be safe because it's not just bad people, but it's all criminals now. If you get busted for, say, an ounce of weed and you have a gun at your house and they find some way to come search your house because of something you said in your conversation, or they match you up with somebody down the street that might have been a dealer and they get a warrant to search your house, you're going to go to prison for the fucking gun.
Because I'm not supposed to. It's a felony to own it and not register.
No. The gun. You've got a criminal for the weed.
Oh yeah.
But you're gonna get a penalty for the gun. The gun's gonna what keeps you disarmed in 10 years. When you get off your probation, or when you get out of prison, or you get off paper, or whatever, you still can't own a firearm to defend yourself. Even though you didn't do shit. You still can't defend yourself properly to the full amount of natural law, which is your life versus someone else's life.
Shit. All right.
So how the best to rid off a society that you don't want anymore by the elite? You disarm every motherfucker, and when one person revolts up, you shoot that fucker. But you make an example of that person.
What's the ultimate goal for them? What would be the ultimate goal? Like, I mean, if they're already rich, they're elite, they got everything. I'm not constant valuable control. To them.
What is there it? Are people out there that think you have a number to your head. You're either a positive number or a negative number. You could be at pennies. You could be at negatives. People that take off the system would be considered a negative. People who provide into the system, those are positives. People that can generate a number, a one and a zero. For the whole system, there is a value to them.
But let's say someone like you, right? You generate for the system.
Right.
I mean, it's just mm-hmm. because it's what we have to do.
Right. And everybody needs their cut like the mafia.
But then you also have the positions that you hold in terms of
entertainment.
Not entertainment. I mean, what we're talking about now. The corrupt government,
yeah,
and all
passing
this kind of
information
stuff.
On
that's a negative. So I mean, essentially, that's a negative positive. For them,
right? Yeah, it is. It is a negative for them.
So why wouldn't you be somewhere? They say we need to keep eye on this guy.
I don't doubt it. What cracks me up is the people that say, "Well, if you're so far against the government, or if you're so far against taxes, why don't you take up arms and start shooting people and getting it rid of?" And the only thing I can fucking say is, because if I absolutely did that at any point and had that in my mind to do that right now, you know what I would what would happen? Oh, Crazy Manny fucking went off the deep end and just shot a few people. Let's have his funeral next week. Oh, boo-hoo. Yep, he's gone in 6 months. He just went off like fucking, what's his name, Dorner, the LA officer. That motherfucker was smart. There's a lot of corrupt motherfuckers in the LA Police Department.
But see, that's where other part.
And he got listed as being a fucking wacko. That's what would happen to people who stand up to the system.
You think Darner was a wacko?
No, I think he got labeled as a
wacko.
That's
how he was labeled. I don't think he got labeled that way.
I think he got labeled as a fucking wacko.
Where
I worked with the city, it was listed more as that he was, I mean, the persona was that he was somebody who turned on his brothers in blue.
But that doesn't.
Because that's what he did, though. But that's what he did.
But his alliance to those people,
his alliance stopped to those people where it should have, at the freedom of the American people.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. The premise that we've built the Constitution on is basically what he did. Right. So I don't think that loyalty. I think it'd have been more crazy for him to pledge allegiance to these oligarchs,
police, the police state.
Yeah. Like, that's why I said I don't. He is one of very few that I looked at and go, he was talking about some shit.
Yeah.
And it's, you know.
So when people tell me, hey, why don't you take up arms? Because people will think I'm just a fucking crazy wacko. Why not inform you? Why not inform you? And just say, hey, I don't have to tell you every fucking thing here. I've just got to point one thing out to say, hey, what you're thinking of might not be true. Take a look at this, please.
Do you think the people are not, because a lot of times, some of the things that you're saying is like, and they say they're trying to keep us down. They want to do this. But for me, I have confidence in the people. I think at any point, you know, the whole reason for the Second Amendment is if these people feel like they're that power that they can come for us, the people have the right to combat that change, that conflict. And I believe in the people enough to rise up to change.
You know where somebody has the right? Your rights stop at the next man putting a bullet in your head. That's where your rights stop. Or your willingness to put a bullet in their head is where your rights begin.
So the purge.
Yeah. Damn. Because that's ultimately where your rights begin and where your rights end is whether your willingness to put a bullet in someone's head because they're going to put one in yours. You have the ultimate choice to enact your rights. If you don't, that's your own personal choice life.
I kind of feel that if it was, I mean, it's hard to say because we have an example in Nazi Germany where, Hitler had these people say, fuck it. Otherwise, it could have been good people.
What was the difference between Nazi Germany and the 5 to 7 years before Nazi Germany?
I have no idea.
The belief in a story. Mm. How many people could you get to believe what you were saying? Because truth is perception of reality. If I can get enough people to believe the Jews are bad and they're going to take over the world, well, let's not just stay with the Jews. All the black people. Let's get all the Polish people. Yeah. Let's get everybody from every other ethnicity because the Jews are bad. Well, if they're bad, then they're bad and they're bad. Well, let's kill them all. Now, with that, when I was talking about one incident being masked by another one, like the Vegas shooting, I think the Holocaust is, put it like this, a lot of our...
I'm going to go on the record to say that this is probably going to get edited out. But we're going to continue the conversation.
That's where it comes...
But something like that, though. Yeah. That's what I'm afraid of today, in a sense that where you say what you're saying, and then I look at the current state of Make America Great Again.
Where's everybody's red line? The line in the sand is what ultimately comes down to. There's your rights. Is that an easier term?
My rights?
Yeah, no, your rights is where is your line in the sand. Mm. When is enough enough? When are you going to fight back? And if you're waiting till handcuffs are put on you and put in a cage for you to fight, then you're long past having your freedom because you're fighting in their court systems.
Henry Thomas Thoreau. I forgot the quote now. Let these four walls bind me. Basically, his deal was my freedom isn't about a constitution, not a constitution per se, but like these acts or rules or laws, my freedom comes from my mind, what I know. So me being in prison because I broke a rule doesn't mean that I'm less free. Henry Thoreau, I think that's his name, Thomas Thoreau, one of them, philosopher. Anyway, man, I can go on. I got a whole list. This is my list. I've only touched two of these fucking things.
I could tell you right now, if to standing up to anybody of authority, you cannot do it by yourself.
Right.
Enough people who are willing to support you, i.e., if you're going to go to combat or go to war in a cage, for you to continue fighting as an entertainer, you still need to put butts in them seats.
Right.
If you don't have that,
you get listed as the meat market.
Mm.
You are the one who get called up, oh, I need you to fight for a couple hundred bucks. I need you to fight for peanuts. Because there are some promoters that will do that to you. That's where it comes to how much are you willing to value on your life back to the ones and zeros.
I want... This is probably the right place to end the show, but I don't want to yet.
Hey, you got life insurance? Ones and zeros. You have a value on your life.
You're right.
You have a value on your life.
I don't even tell nobody how much my shit worth. My kids can wait for that little money.
But you have a value. Everybody has a value on their life. You own a car.
Mm.
You're in debt to it. You know what the value is? To those rich and elite people, you have a negative value.
You know, I felt like, and now I'm just speaking off my head. I felt like when the credit agency got hacked, that was like
the debt agency.
Yeah, I mean, same fucking. That's all that is. So credit.
That's how much you can go in debt to me. That's how much you got a marker for with me.
I felt like there was an opportunity for us to hit the reset button to change how we do this.
You know what I think would be great? It's a fucking EMP to hit the fucking whole world all at once and just reset us back. You know what? A third of everybody would be dead in a week. It would reset everything.
It's ones and zeros again.
Ones and zeros.
But you do that.
The majority of the people are the people that plan to fail. Why? Because they failed to plan.
Now, I'd say this all the time. Ain't nobody ready to run some shit like a white man. And I feel you reset us all, we go back to white power.
Mob rule more than white power. I think there are enough in the melting pot that would stop white power at this point. Regardless of how many white supremacists there are, I think it would
but that's
be,
just an idea.
It would be decades before white power would even attempt to take over an area. And if they did, the most it would be a stated off area.
So you don't think that
15
that,
years after that, their species, their blood, their color will have died out.
So, but you don't think of that the inferiority complex is a real thing?
I think it's with everybody. I think everybody has some kind of inferiority complex or a masculinity complex. Everybody wants to be Billy Badass until they get punched in the mouth. Everybody wants to play the, oh, poor, poor, pitiful me so that I can get some fucking attention at some point, regardless of how big or how small it is. Stub your toe on the coffee table. No one's in the house. You go, oh, shit, fuck. And
but
you rub it off.
Guns
somebody
about,
else is in the house. You go, oh, motherfucker. Why? Why did you get louder? Why? Because you wanted to make sure you heard, I heard you.
I'm tough.
Yeah.
But I've also felt like.
It can be both ways. It could be, I want you to give me some sympathy. Or I want you to acknowledge that I'm fucking tough. What just happened? One or the other.
I kind of feel like that's what guns are about, though. For some. I think that a lot of people want to own guns because they think that they're going to have that moment where they get to be John Wayne in a situation.
And shoot
it
somebody.
Don't work like that.
It don't. Because think of being, I can say it just for the fighters for the first few fights. Or sometimes even now, I still get butterflies stepping into a cage. Fuck, just the imagination. Now, there are times when I'm around people and I get around groups of people, I literally sit there and think of who would I have to hit first with what object and who the fuck would I have to spin in what direction to get the fuck out of the room. Mm. If there's more than two people in the room, that's all I'm thinking for the first 20 minutes. And that scenario is playing in my head every single day.
You think, but that's, like I said, that's what I think how these people who say, I need to have a firearm. Because I'm like, you know, and that's, you know, with the, what was the shooting that just happened? At the church. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the defense is like, oh, the guy had the rifle, he fended it off. But I think of 100 people, it still just be that one person with a rifle who would take the chance.
Right.
And who knows? He had the thing. Who knows if that guy, the killer was already on his way.
Hey,
anyway, he could have killed somebody.
I hate to sound. I want to sound empathetic, but not sympathetic
to
religious people that went to church that lost their lives that day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's sad to hear that they went to a place of worship, but ultimately, when you die, where is your hoping to go? To heaven.
Yeah.
And if you're in the middle of a church service, what is the best way for you religiously in your head, if you are a true believer in that Bible, the best time for you to go would be when you're at church?
I would say that it's not so much the best way you're going to go as much as it's
location, maybe. Maybe not the best way, but it's just a matter of how you believe and what your belief is on your, how far is your red line in your religion.
Okay, I will agree in form to that, because I just look at a church as a structure.
It is.
So I don't think location matters.
Thou shalt not kill.
Fair enough.
Major commandment, right?
Yeah.
Nobody says thou shalt not kill unless you're not paying me my due. Wait, but your taxes do.
Wait. It's rob Peter to pay Paul. Now this is thou Bible work too.
Kill. Thou shalt not kill, but you're killing for money.
That's Old Testament. Killing
for greed.
Old news, right?
That's,
old news.
That's the Jewish Bible.
Hey, so
that's the Torah. That's the vengeful God.
So, but the thou shalt not kill still holds true, though, right?
That is true.
Okay, but so why are we killing in the name of money? Or control. Why are we killing? Why are we killing in the name of a speeding ticket because I didn't want to obey your rules?
It's people.
It's people. But why not hold those people to the same law that you would expect that person that just ran from a speeding ticket to? Why give them a little bit of extra freedom?
I don't disagree. That's the people. It goes back to kind of how we got here, is that we have this government or societal government that create these things that says this is okay. This value is more than this value. I've always argued that our penalty system, the judicial system, is what people say is not.
Generates revenue.
I personally believe that it generates revenue. Well, outside of the money aspect, I'm talking the penalty aspect, is it's just about revenge. What level of revenge am I comfortable with?
No. It's continuous generating revenue. Think of what you got to pay. Think of what you have to pay when you are on the system. Say, after you've committed your crime and you have a penalty, a fine. Let's just throw a number out there, $500. Most people that get a small little $500 fine, that's probably two or three charges hit with a minimum fee. Okay, you got the minimum of it. So add it up, you got $500. They just two charges knocked down. You pled to two. Why? Because you didn't want to fight the rule. Because getting a jury trial and a traffic ticket, you ever tried one of that?
Hell yeah. My shit gets dismissed every time.
Yeah. Why? Because they got to take it to the county building.
It's too much work.
Right. It's a lot of work for them. But you have to request it. And a lot of people won't request it because it's easy submission.
Yeah.
It's easy submission. Now, we're getting into easy submission for a minute. People go, oh, man, I just want to hurry up and get out of here. I want to hurry up and get out of here. I want to hurry up and get out of here. So they plead to whatever they fucking can. That's how people fucking admit to crimes they didn't commit.
Here's the chain reaction, at least on the speeding side. You pay the government. You got to report the shit. Now you got to pay your insurance company.
No, now you've got to pay the person you got to report to.
Yeah.
You got to pay your probation fines.
Yep.
You got to pay your court fees. Mm-hmm. Then you got to pay your raised insurance. Then you got to pay your SR-22 if it had anything to do with driving. Now you've got 2 to 5 years of we're watching you from the state government. Okay. And if the shit's from out of state, not only are you paying your out of state shit from, say, Texas or Colorado, because they'll hit you here. They'll hit your credit and they'll hit your driver's license here. Now your shit's suspended here, your shit's suspended there. You can't get your shit unsuspended here until you go to whatever state it is there, get your shit unsuspended there, and then you have to come
state,
here.
Now, county.
Yeah. Now you've got to pay all these fees to all these people. You know what you're paying for? You're paying for them to go, psh, psh, all right, you gave me money. Thanks for paying for my job for the 30 minutes you sat here and waited.
Yeah.
Is what you're paying for.
Yep. I don't disagree. See, I told you we wouldn't disagree completely tonight. Well, we're going to wrap this thing up. Manny, this was interesting. I got to have part of the conversation I wanted to have. Like I said, I had shit on here. Let me tell you my list. This is the list of shit that I was like, I wonder if this motherfucker's that crazy.
If you would have gave me that list before now,
I would have sat down and gave you a lot of points on all of it and had it all ready for you and not would have rambled on.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have been organic. I want the organic shit. That's why I hide it. I got shit by UFOs, the moon.
Oh, yeah.
Flat Earth, 9/11.
Oh, yeah, man.
Fucking man, wars, which we did a little war talk.
Touch on some good shit.
Weather machines. Oh, like, yeah. All this kind of stuff. I just felt like he's got something for all of it. But we didn't do it. And then I want to talk folklore in our history. But maybe some other time we'll do this. Let's just make sure we circle back round to MMA. What you got coming up, if anything?
At this point, I'm looking for jiu-jitsu competitions. I'm looking for some fights and whatever I can get into. Other than that, I'm enjoying my house, enjoying my family as much as possible.
Well, we're going to have some video content of this. We're at the Mraz household. This will be after, let's see, this will be next week. Well,
okay.
He has a big ice bath for them old bones.
Hey, what? Brandon Phillips has been in that fucker.
Jesus Christ, I can't see it. I can't do that. Well, at this point, by the time y'all hear this, we want to give a big shout out to Jessica Middleton. She just had a fight at Bellator in Tel Aviv. A place that I'm pretty sure Manny is not welcome.
Yeah, CSA would probably keep me off of that.
But
free Palestine.
She had a fight there against a very high level fighter. So by the time we record this, we already know the result. But I'm not going to talk about the result because it's not, you know, what we want it to be. But I will say this about Jessica: she's probably one of the toughest female fighters.
I'm proud to be her teammate.
And I've talked to her several times. I personally just love the way she thinks about this game and other women. And she doesn't like, someone told me that she just don't like other female fighters, but I like the fact that she doesn't look at it as a modeling opportunity or as this other thing other than just wanting to fight and feed a family.
That's it. That's all this is.
Mm-hmm. And so much luck to her.
Why not get to do something you like for a few dollars?
support for her and what she's out here doing for women in MMA, especially here in Wichita or Kansas, because I so far haven't seen another one here that I feel like is ready to go pound for pound with her.
I think there's quite a few of a women plethora we have here in Wichita.
Give me one you think of.
I got one girl that she's out of Mays named Heather Bell. She's a decent wrestler. Trying to get her back into the MMA gym.
All right. You don't see a lot of female wrestlers in this game either.
No. She's a pretty tough girl. I'm trying to convince her parents to let her get back into this.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks again. Do you want to drop some social media or are you trying to stay away from it?
No, I can't really remember all my social media tags. I am on Twitter. I am on Instagram.
We'll get it in the show notes. All right. Well, that's Manny the Man Dog Mraz fighting out of Wichita, Kansas, JMTK. And I'm just going to throw Fox Fitness in there.
Yeah.
Got to get that in there. What about some sponsors names? You want to drop a few of those?
Needed Healing gives me my deep tissue massage. That's what keeps me my bones and my muscles going. Erica Brown Chiropractic. They're based right there off of Northeast. At the 29th and Rock Road in Cryo, Kansas. If I ain't in the ice bath, I'm pretty much in their cryo machine. Keep them cold.
Cry is the very important word.
Yeah, there. A little bit of crying.
But this is the Catch These Hands podcast. And until next time, make sure you go over to the Kinda Famous Podcast Network on Facebook, facebook.com/KindaFamousPod, KINDA Famous Pod, POD. Go to arrowfilms.com and get some shit. Hit one of those links. I got MMA gear type stuff. If you think you want to get in the sport, need some gear, you want to start training, do that. But till then, this is the Catch These Hands podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Girl up the street said you were talking all that mess about my hands. Do you want these hands?